Praise the Lord, family of God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's such a blessing to have Stan and Connie with us. For those of us, you may not know him, them, they are the basically the ones who founded this church. God called them, and church changed hands years ago, almost 20 now. Hard to believe. Praise the Lord. It's good to have them here today. They are a blessing to us. We appreciate them so much. For anybody who might not know, this is my pastor. The wisdom of God that's come through him has affected my life in ways I can't explain. And we're glad to have him this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I encourage you, get a chance, get to shake their hands and get to know them a little bit. Again, it's good to see y'all. I don't know about y'all, I can't help but be blessed. Just every morning when I wake up, a new day. You know, somebody said, it's good to see you. And the person responded, well, it's good to be seen. For some of us, we know what that means. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the grace and mercy of God. That's the love of God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for these people. More than anything, Lord, we thank you for your presence here. For your wisdom, your knowledge, your word, Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Guide us into truth this morning. Order our steps. Order my steps in your word. And Lord, this morning, once again, we've come to bring praise and worship and honor to you. We love you, Lord. With everything within us, we love you, Lord. So you have your way. Holy Spirit, you're in control. We've given it to you already. And now we just trust you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We give you praise and glory and honor. Thanksgiving this morning, Lord. Father, this morning we come again into your presence, Lord. Because of your plan, Lord. Because of your mercy and because of your love, Lord. We are what we are today because of you, Lord. We know you. You who are the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And Lord, we've come to you because you are the giver of life, and that life more abundantly. I thank you for the wisdom and the insight of the Comforter which you promised and you sent, that's come to guide us into all truth. This morning I pray that the eyes of the understanding of all of us would be opened, that your word would come in power, transform us, change us, give us liberty, Lord, where there may have been bondage. Give us clear thinking where there may have been confusion. And Lord, we just praise and thank you for the good news we're going to hear today. Lord, I pray once again, and I thank you for the open, receptive hearts to receive from you. Not from me, Lord, from you. Use me as your oracle. Touch my mouth, my tongue with a coal from off the altar of God. And let your word come forth in power and truth. And might. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was kind of touching on my thoughts this morning and the fact that, you know, there's some things that need to be made clear. When we talk about law, there's two kinds of law talked about in the Bible. One law is the law of sin and death. The other law is the law of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What's amazing is that people, sometimes in the Bible there's a word, and depending on where you read that word, it may mean different things, even in one verse. And so what we want to do this morning, what I want to do is, I've been searching this, God has opened my eyes to some things, and it's simple, it's in His Word. It's in His Word. And so I want to share some of that with you this morning. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Again, I want to be transparent, and I'm accountable to y'all, but I'm more than that, I'm accountable to God. So I have to do what He tells me to do. And I believe God's given me some insight that has set me free in a greater way than I've ever been free before. And I'm excited this morning to share this with you. You know, I want to tell you that if you'll go and you'll look at the book of Romans and you'll ask the Holy Spirit, He'll give you insight into the freedom and the liberty that you have. You know, we hear in this day and age still there's churches and people who say, well, we're just an old sinner saved by grace. That is not true. We were a sinner that needed saving by His grace. But when you received the Lord Jesus, you changed kingdoms. You became a new creation, a new species, a new being that never before existed. You're a new man. The old things, that means all of the old things have passed away forever. Amen. So I want to start reading, if you will, in Romans chapter 3. And I want to show you some things that I believe are going to set you free. You're going to leave here with some insight this morning that maybe you've never had before, or that maybe you were a little confused, and this is going to clear it up for you. Amen. Starting in verse 9, or better yet, let's start in verse 10. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb, and their tongues have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before them. Now we're talking about people before the regeneration of God in their life, before the restoration and receiving Jesus. We're talking about people who don't know God. They're of their father the devil. They're doing his deeds. Because this is the fruit of unrighteousness, which only comes from people who are non-believers. Amen? Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says, now listen carefully, to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the world may become guilty before God. In other words, what we're seeing and understanding here is the fact that it's through the law of man and the Mosaic law that we understand the need for God. That's how we realized we were people who needed God in our lives. We were created for Him. And we need Him in our lives. Otherwise, the law that we see shows us that we are people who deserve death, and it brings the sentence of death. Amen? Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We just mentioned that. It's the law that reveals to you your lawless deeds and your need for somebody to come and deliver you and transform you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look carefully. Listen carefully. If you catch this, I believe you'll walk out of here free, freer than when you came in. But now, the righteousness of God, in verse 21, apart from the law, is revealed. Listen carefully. The righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, through faith, in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. I'm talking about righteousness and faith. Okay? Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's only in Christ Jesus. Redemption's only in Jesus. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. See, the Bible tells us, and we're going to see here in a few minutes, we're going to see that we were as sinners under the law of sin and death. But you, as a believer who has surrendered your life to Christ, you are no longer under the law of sin and death. It's gone away. It's done away with. You're now under the law of liberty in Christ Jesus, the law of God. And it's different. The law of mankind and the law of Moses, the Mosaic law, is what brought condemnation to you, revealed your transgressions and the nastiness that was in your life and on your life that you needed deliverance from. Amen. Verse 26. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of one, or the one, who has faith in Jesus. When you receive the Lord, you become justified. You become righteous. Not your righteousness, but His righteousness indwelling in you, because He is the righteous one and He dwells in you. Amen. Verse 27 says, where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Did you catch that? If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Salvation is not by works. Amen? You can't live good enough and you can't live long enough to fulfill or satisfy the requirement of the law against you as a non-believer. What justifies you is the faith, the law of faith. That's what justifies you. In other words, you commit your life to the Lord. You say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe You came to deliver me, to transform me, to set me free. And now I want to live my life. The life you live now is by the faith of Jesus. Amen? It's in the faith of Jesus. That old stuff, this is what hangs up so many believers, is they don't understand that they're free from that. If you go on and read in Romans chapter 8, you're going to find out you've been delivered from anything that has to do with sin. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. Amen. Therefore, we conclude in verse 27 that man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The law could never justify you. All the law did was bring condemnation to you. And what did God say? God tells us that His Son didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You come to the knowledge that you need a deliverer. You need to be set free from the corruption and the garbage. And what happened on the cross? Jesus took every ugly, nasty thing that you was ever committed from eternity past to eternity present on Himself. And it was so bad and so ugly that God had to turn His face from it because it was more than He could handle and because He can't look at sin. But Jesus became that sin. He took all the handwriting of ordinances that was against you and I, and He turned that into righteousness because He delivered you from it, taking it away from you and removing it as far as the east is from the west, and remembers it no more. And then He buried it in the deepest sea. It can't be resurrected. Amen? So we're free. We're redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed? Say so. Hallelujah. You're not justified by the deeds of the law. Verse 29. Or is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. There's no difference. If you don't have Jesus, it doesn't make any difference whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. You're still a sinner, and you're still under the law of sin and death. It's the law of sin and death that revealed to you both your need. And then after you were redeemed and born again, the fact that you were set free and you're now a new species, a new creation, a new being.
Verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. In other words, the law's not gone. But we're not under the law anymore. Jesus said the law would remain till all be fulfilled. Let me tell you something, in case you don't know this. When Jesus redeemed you and He died, first of all, in Isaiah 53:5, and then when He went to the cross and put the period on it and went into hell, it was finished. The requirements of the law that was against you and I has been done away. It's no more. He didn't do away with the law, but He fulfilled the requirements that we deserved to take the punishment for. And He took the punishment on Himself. So it's fulfilled. Not in some time future, not in a sweet by and by, not when we're redeemed or when we go to heaven, when we walk into eternity, but right now, we are the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Hallelujah. Do we then make the law, make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. The law is good in the respect that it reveals to you where you're at in your life. That's the only thing it does. But when you're redeemed from the law of sin and death, and you're redeemed into the law of God, the law of life in Christ Jesus, the perfect law of liberty, that means you see things that are laws that God set in place that gives you authority and power and the ability to operate in the things of God and to minister the life of God to other people. Amen. If you're living the life you should live. Amen? I would submit to you that that's the reason that God says, I'd rather that you'd be cold or hot, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. He'd rather you'd be totally cold and not do the right thing than be lukewarm and play the game of vacillating back and forth. Or He'd rather you be on fire. You have the zeal of God that consumes you, burning in your soul. It's a driving force. It can't be quenched. It can't be stopped. Amen? That's where I want to be. How about you? Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 4, just a few verses in chapter 4. Then we'll go on. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Abraham wasn't justified by works. What Abraham did was be obedient to God, and his actions sustained that faith and obedience to God. Amen? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. But okay, we read that. Verse 3. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was accounted to him for righteousness? His believing in God, his faith. Amen? Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. When you work, the reward you receive, you work for wages. And that's not just grace that somebody pays you. You have worked for that. You have earned that. Now, you can't earn God's grace and mercy. But there is a blessing involved when you follow God. He wants to bless you. He desires to bless you. And the blessings come on you when you step out from underneath the knowledge of sin and death and the law of sin and death into God's grace and His mercy. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Hallelujah. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, just as if you never sinned. Amen. You missed a good place to shout. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we have peace with God? Because we've been justified by faith. That's operating in the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The word won't go away, but heaven and earth will. Remember that the law has already been done away with if you're a believer. If not, then you're still under that law of sin and death. Matthew 5, 16 through 18. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think," in verse 17, "that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." In a believer's life, it's been fulfilled. In an unbeliever's life, it's not fulfilled yet. So it can't pass away. But in your life, it has passed away. It's as dead as that person who laid there after being reborn again, or being born again, as it speaks of in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That law is dead in your life. We talked about the Mosaic Law, but also the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are commandments to show you how to live right, but that's when you're lawless. But when you become God's child, the law of liberty in Christ Jesus, the law of life in Christ, is operating in you. So the Bible says you can't do the things that you would normally do. Not only that, the desire goes away. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The desire for those things, the lust for other things, the Bible says, it's gone. He does away with it. Why? Because your focus is in a different place. It's not about satisfying you anymore. It's about giving your life to Him and satisfying Him, living for Him to the fullness, the fullest degree you can. And you know you do that not by yourself, but by the one who works in you and through you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The law requires satisfaction for lawlessness. In Isaiah 53:5, we read that because of His stripes, we are healed. But that scripture is also, what it says from the beginning is, He was wounded for our transgressions. I believe that's the sin we commit willfully. Or we committed willfully. He was bruised for our iniquity. That's the inadvertent mistakes we make. And then He says, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Your peace was purchased because of those stripes. That's what the law required. We deserve to be beaten. We deserve to be chastised. And we deserve that cross. But Jesus took our place. He became the scapegoat to set us free.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And by His stripes, we are healed. And that means healed in mind, body, spirit, and soul, in every way, physically, emotionally. Amen?
Yes.
Hebrews 9:22 says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." The law required the shedding of blood. Our deeds were so lawless and so evil that there had to be blood to bring about the righteous requirement of the law. And Jesus became that sacrificial lamb in our place. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The law requires blood to atone and or make right the breaking or violation of the law by the shedding of blood by the Lamb of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Colossians 2:13 through 15. Colossians 2:13 through 15. "And you being dead in your trespasses," is everybody there? "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Again, when we talk about flesh, we're talking about ungodliness, the desires of the flesh, or the Adamic nature. "He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses." Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Not only were you redeemed and delivered, but the requirement of the law was nailed to the cross. And now, it's been blotted out. Everything that was written down against you in your lawless life before God is gone. In the King James, it says blotting out. And that word means to remove with absorbing material. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That doesn't make you excited, then I don't know what will. Let's go back and look at Romans chapter 6 for a minute. Just three or four verses. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Listen carefully now. Are you there? For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. In other words, it's just like we were crucified with Him. Because everything we deserved, He carried. Do you understand what I'm saying? And are you still with me? Have I lost you? That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but it's not me, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I'm living now in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we not only see faith and justification and grace in this, but we see the love of God in this. Amen? I mean, that's the first and foremost thing that should stand out in your eyes and in your understanding. The love of God. And it's been shed abroad. It's been placed into each one of you who are believers. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you guys, that's exciting to me. The law came to show us the need for a Savior. And to reveal our lawlessness without God. Sin is a violation of God's law. By God's law, I mean, you know, it goes against everything He is and what He shows. So, but that's been done away with. Again, law requires justice and restitution. Jesus was that one who brought restitution. And He took all of our violations on Himself. He hung on the cross carrying all the corruption of our lives. And His blood removed it and absorbed our sin. Hallelujah. That blood covered and absorbed our sin. If you believe. If you believe. I mean, the work is there. It's open for anybody who wants it. But you have to make the move. Amen? He did not destroy the law, but fulfilled its requirements. Amen. Just for a moment, turn over to chapter 8 of Romans. I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is dealing with the flesh. The law of sin and death is dealing with the flesh and the weakness of the flesh. The desire to do ungodly things. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in our flesh. He didn't condemn us. He condemned the sin. He revealed to us that it was wrong. I'd say that's condemnation. But not condemnation that brings us down. It's condemnation that reveals the presence, the glory, and the love of God in our lives. Hallelujah. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Did you catch that? He did it so the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. In us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's after Christ. That's after redemption. Amen? Hallelujah. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let me ask you a question. When you were born again, did something change in your attitude and your thinking? No? Amen. Amen. It did for me. I knew. The minute I received the Lord, I could see. Not only could see it, but I could see it going away too. The fact that Jesus redeemed me. And I was not the same person that I was. Hallelujah. The requirement of the law has been met and filled by Jesus. The law has no more power or dominion over those who have submitted themselves, over you and I who have submitted ourselves to God and become heirs of the kingdom. Heirs of the kingdom. What kingdom? Kingdom of death or the kingdom of life? Kingdom of life. Amen. The law of Moses and worldly law has not been done away with, but its requirements have been met. I don't have any ways to say it. You're free. You ought to be standing and shouting and praising God that you're free from all of that. If you're not, we'll pray for you this morning. And become heirs of the kingdom. The law of Moses and worldly law has not been done away. Its requirements been making with making it of no effect or without effect any longer in the lives of believers. If you're born again, if you are born again, saved and safe, there is no more need for the law. There's no more need for it. Amen? There's no more need for it. If you're in Christ, if you're in God, you don't even need the Ten Commandments. I mean, the Ten Commandments are good. Don't misunderstand. I'll please hear with your spirit, not with your intellect. You don't even need the Ten Commandments anymore because you're going to do the right thing to please your Father. Amen?
That's right.
That's where your desire is.
That's right. That's it.
We are now under God's righteous law. We are now under the perfect law of liberty. You want to know where that's found? It's in James chapter 1, verse 25. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn and read it to you. James chapter 1, verse 25. It says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all he does." Because you're in this place now, the things that came with that law of sin and death are now done away with. And now the blessings of God, the power of God, the authority of God is in your life. And if it's not, then maybe it's time we pray that God would open your eyes to see what it is you really have and who you really are in Him. Amen? Called the perfect law of liberty. We are not under the law. We are now under the law of liberty in Christ, not the law of sin and bondage. No, this knowledge, revealed by the Spirit of God, brings and causes peace within our hearts, our minds, and our emotions. Amen. It's almost like I can feel and sense just kind of a in the spirit. I don't have to be worried about the old things anymore. Worry's not from God. All I'm concerned with now is pleasing my Father, obeying His will. Again, this knowledge revealed to us this morning by the Spirit of God brings and causes peace in our hearts, our mind, and our emotions. John 14, 25-31. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that while being present with you,
spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Listen carefully. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father. Why did he go? So you and I were free from the things that oppressed us, the things that condemned us, the finger that was pointing at us, unrighteous, lawless, sinner. Praise you, Lord. Don't let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, okay, we read that. For my Father is greater than I am. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Jesus surrendered. The devil couldn't take it away from him. He gave it willfully because he was obedient to his Father. He loved his Father more than anything else. Even when he prayed, if it's possible, let this cup pass. And in the very same breath, he said, but not what I want, what you want. Not my will, but your will. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, so I do arise. Let us go from here. In Isaiah 9:6, see, all of this knowledge and really walking in this brings great peace, peace that passes understanding. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the most important part, Prince, Peace. Amen. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Amen. All of it. He's the ruler over all principality and power. Amen. We've read that in past weeks. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, you, who's you? He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because of what? He trusts in you. Do you trust the Word of God this morning? Do you trust the Lord? Has he done for you what he says he's done? Is it real in your life this morning? Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Glory, glory to God. If you're taking notes, Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. It doesn't just come in, it guards your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. In John 14:25-31, that word peace there means tranquility, harmony, security, safety, concord. Listen carefully. This will surprise you. Prosperity. Being prosperous. Fearing nothing. Are you at peace with God this morning? Do you have the peace of God this morning? Nothing you're afraid of?
except maybe displeasing God, and you're never going to do that as long as you continue in His presence, continue doing what He tells you to do. Then in Isaiah 9:6 we saw that, and it's a different, it means some of the same things, but it's a different number. What it means is the peace that's spoken of in Isaiah 9:6 is completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, quiet tranquility, health, prosperity, and friendship. Glory to God. Isaiah 26:3-4, it's the same meaning. And in Philippians 4:17, it's the same as John 14:25-31. Hallelujah. The words peace or peaceable, it's a state of tranquility or quiet, a state of security or order within a community, the community of God. I just added that little note. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Harmony in personal relations. Is the peace of God operating in your life this morning? Have you entered into His rest? If you believe what we've shared with you this morning, then that peace should be abiding and resting on you and in you. Amen. The word peaceable, I'm going to read Hebrews 12:11, and then I'll tell you what peaceable means. So no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Peaceable. Chastening is not pleasant, but it brings about a change in our attitude. And you know the biggest thing that chastisement brings when it comes from the Father? Is the knowledge that He loves us, which should add to your peace. The word peaceable means disposed to peace, not contentious or quarrelsome, quietly behaved, and marked by freedom from strife or disorder. If you don't understand that you're free from the law of sin and death, then there's disorder in your life. You need to ask God to reveal to you and to make it real in your life that you've been delivered from all that. And in closing, 1 Timothy 2:1-2, it says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and perseverance. We talked about that this morning for just a few moments before service. When you pray for the leaders, you can't pray for God's wisdom to be in somebody or for Him to operate like God if He doesn't know God. It's not possible. We're talking about two different kingdoms. We're talking about the kingdom of darkness and death and destruction, and the kingdom of light, glory, and power. One kingdom is whose father is the devil, and the other kingdom is the kingdom of God, whose light, faith, amen, who freely gives us all things if we believe. Amen. But God, here's what God says. He says, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. They're the creation of God. They're not to be rejected and despised and hated. We hate what they do if they don't know the Lord, but we don't hate them. They're an authority. But God's the final authority. Hallelujah. He's the final authority. and because of Him. And if we'll do these things, we'll lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Perseverance and reverence. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I didn't know if I was going to make it through all that this morning. God's in control. You had your eyes open this morning? Or have you been reassured of who and what you are this morning? Imagine that God loved us so much that that's what He did for us. If you're not free this morning, if there's something troubling you, or you're not at the place where you can receive and walk in this revelation, then let's pray for you this morning. Let us pray for you. You're in a safe environment. You're with the people of God, the family of God. We're all family here, amen? There's no embarrassment. When Debbie was here and she started to pray, man, I wanted to be the first one in line to get up there and get that prayer. See, I'm not exempt. I'm just like you are. God puts a little more pressure on me because of what He's called me to do, but I'm no different than you are. I'm not any greater than you are. But I serve the greater one who dwells in me. Amen. So I want my life to be right and clean and clear, my conscience clear, again, transparent, and I want to be accountable, not only before God, but before His people. So if you need prayer this morning, please. If you want to come, come. If you have a prayer request, please let us know. Or come, you know, whatever. The elders are available after the service to pray. How many feel better having been here this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's good. And I can honestly say it's not because of me, it's in spite of me. Are all hearts clear? Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You, Lord, that You promised that Your Word would accomplish what it was sent to do and would not return void. I thank You, Lord, that You said when Your Word, which is seed, is sown in the hearts, it brings forth fruit in its season. So I pray for each individual person here this morning that's sitting here. I pray for that peace that comes through the knowledge of being justified by grace and faith. And the sin and the law, the deeds of the law are no longer in effect in our lives, but the deeds of the righteous law of liberty in Christ Jesus are abounding in each person here this morning. I give You praise and thanksgiving, Lord. As the song says, Lord, every day is sweeter and sweeter than the day before. As the days go by, Lord, it just gets better and better. Thank You, Lord. I ask that Your Word be sealed in every heart. And I thank You for setting people free this morning by the Holy Spirit. Or for enhancing the knowledge of that freedom this morning. Thank You, Lord, for being here and illuminating our understanding, for exhorting, comforting, building up each person, Lord. We ask this morning, Lord, that You would conform us to Your image and likeness. As Jesus said, we say, Lord, not our will be done, but Your will be done. We say, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in this earth, in us,
as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord. We praise you and thank you. We pray for those who are not here this morning. We pray for peace. We pray for safety. We pray for healing, deliverance from whatever may be standing in their way. And Lord, we thank you that we have the petitions we've made to you this morning. In the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus, for your honor and glory, and for the kingdom, Lord. Now, Lord, I thank you that your face shines upon your people, that your grace goes with them, your peace that passes all understanding is on them. And, Lord, that they're prosperous in their goings and comings, Lord, because you are at the highest place in their life. And now, Lord, as we retreat into fellowship, Lord, we're still mindful of you. We're still worshiping and praising you. But we sanctify the food, the fellowship, by your word and this prayer. Thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Thank you for your provision in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Oh, wait a minute. We have something we want to share with you. Don't run off yet. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. Hallelujah. Thank you. Stan asked that this be played. I think you're going to get a blessing. So stand by for a minute.
Everybody covers, everybody lies, everybody's done it sometime in their lives, and we all slip. We don't mean to, I don't mean you can't make it right. It's a path you take, the steps you make that make you who you are. It's a life you live, the gifts you get, the love that's in your heart. Just try to do the best you can to be a better man. You don't have to walk on water. It's how you walk on land. Everybody judges, everybody else, everybody's done it to everyone but themselves. What's right, but we still go wrong, and life still goes on, even when we fail. It's a path you take, the steps you make, that make you who you are. It's a life you live, the gifts you give, the love that's in your heart. how you walk on the land.
Amen.
And I hopefully I can get through this. I appreciate very much how you guys honor us for being the founders to start New Life. But it doesn't stop with us. I want to honor so many of you, Bill, Harry, and Marie. And I don't want to miss anybody, Patrick and Donna, Bill Franz, who have stuck with it. Because if they hadn't stuck with it, and I know I'm not going to mess up some names, but Rob and Betty and Norm, different ones here, you wouldn't be able to be here and enjoy this. And the guy in the back, Brian, it wouldn't have been still here for you to have been here that night to gotten free from whatever it was if you hadn't had people that stuck with it. So I honor you today. We honor you today for sticking with it. You know, we went to a Mary Kay thing before we came up here. Everybody knows what Mary Kay is, cosmetics. 50 years ago, one woman started Mary Kay. And you know what? Mary Kay is still going today and changing women's lives. Mary Kay is dead. She's gone. She's not here anymore. And there'll be a time whenever we may not be here, but we want this that was founded and started for the glory and honor of the kingdom. We want this to continue long past us being here. Even if we're not here, we want it to continue changing people's lives. Jesus isn't here, but Jesus is here. He's here. You know, I want to share a quick testimony. I want to say it's going to be really quick. A little over a year ago, whenever he had his stroke, about all he could do was, this was good, this was bad, yes or no. And for him not to be able to speak or give guidance was very, very difficult. But I thank you all for your prayers, for your diligence in praying for us. Without this church family, I don't know where we would have been. And this is what I had to look at. And I don't know if you can see this or not. This is a picture of Stan. And a lot of times in the hospital, I would have to look at this picture and remind myself of what was there. And that picture's coming back. That picture's coming back. Anyway, I praise God for you all, for your faithfulness to God and to His kingdom. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you once again for honoring us, but the honor goes to you, to many of you. Thank you, and Lord bless you.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you heard that. He said the first time he's been here not speaking. But I can tell you, he speaks volumes. I know what's in this man's heart. I know what's in her heart. And there's volumes. We'd be here a month before he'd even scratch the surface. Amen. The other reasons you and I are here. And and God. But God was the vessel. God chose them to be the vessels to make all of this possible. Amen. When the church that was in we were in decided to fold up, the pastor, believe me, I can't understand this. I understand the thoughts, but I can't understand going through with it. Decided he was going to close it up, quit. I knew God wasn't done. And I have been proud these many years to call him not only pastor, but friends. And God's still here, and they're right. I mean, it's something to consider. I'm here because of them, because of God, but through them. God uses people, amen? Let's don't be ashamed of that. And some of you are here because of them too, and the God that's in them. It's not them. It's the God that's in them. Amen. Be blessed. Don't run off. Shake their hand. Love on them. Let's love on one another. Amen. Bless you for being here.